Hello and welcome to the RVC podcast, Veterinary Science on the Move. Today we will be discussing where equine stem cells stem from and how they may be used to treat diseases in the future. Since McCullough and Till introduced the term stem cell in the 1960s, the potential use of stem cell technology for therapeutic purposes has been a major focus of biomedical science. Stem cells can be divided into three major classes: embryonic stem cells, adult stem cells, and cord blood stem cells, which have the scope to develop into different cell and tissue types. Generally, the ability to differentiate into various different tissue types is considered highest in embryonic stem cells and lower in cord blood or adult stem cells. But as all real stem cells share the property of unlimited self-renewal, for some applications, the use of more differentiated adult stem cell lines is a viable alternative to the ethically contested use of embryonic stem cells. Both embryonic and adult stem cells have been characterized in a large number of species by now, raising hopes that stem cell technology could be universally used to treat diseases in humans and animals alike. Professor Roger Smith, together with Alan Goodship, has been involved at the forefront of this development and together with his co-workers has piloted the use of stem cells in equine orthopedic surgery. Recently, their successful work has resulted in the spin-off of VetCell, a biotech company which is now based at the RVC's London Bioscience and Innovation Center in Camden. Roger, when did you first have the idea to use stem cells for therapeutic purposes in horses?
Well, the idea came from when I was attending a meeting over in the States. It was actually the inaugural meeting of the International Society of Matrix Biology. And there were some talks there that were based on stem cells, and I hadn't really heard much about stem cells at that time, but I knew clinically that people were taking bone marrow directly out of the sternum of the horse and injecting it neat into injured tendons and ligaments, and with the theory that it was going to provide a stem cell source. And having heard the talks at this meeting, it was clear to me that there were ways at which we could certainly improve the methods that were currently being proposed for use in the horse. And that's where the idea arose, but nothing really happened about that until about, I think it was November 2002, something like that, when Greg McGarrell approached me. He'd been given my name by somebody else, a veterinary surgeon in practice, to contact me because he had an embryonic stem cell line, or he thought he had an embryonic stem cell line that he was interested in commercializing and using his treatment. Well, to cut a long story short, that was proved not to be the case, but through the discussions I had with him, then it seemed an ideal opportunity to take this idea forward that I'd had of really just taking the best bits out of the bone marrow and trying to get rid of the bad bits, as it were, or the bits or the components that would potentially have an adverse effect on the tendon.
So you've already mentioned bone marrow and also embryos as sources for stem cells. When you propose to use stem cells as a treatment for tendon diseases in horses, which specific stem cells are you actually using? Because there's various families of stem cells which have varying properties.
Yes, the stem cells that we're trying to recover and expand for use in the horse are what we call the mesenchymal stem cells. Now, they're a population of cells that are present in bone marrow at very low numbers. So just taking neat bone marrow by itself is going to deliver very, very few of these cells.
So you need to enrich them.
So the whole idea is we went through a process of ex vivo enrichment so that those particular cell types were enriched in the laboratory in culture, so we could get decent numbers, which we could then implant back into the same horse.
So these mesenchymal stem cells, if I'm right, are considered adult stem cells. So that would get you around a couple of problems which sometimes are associated with stem cell therapy. For example, the fact that you would transfer stem cells from one animal to the other, host responses. Is that the case?
Well, that's a very good point. And although mesenchymal stem cells are thought to be fairly immunoprivileged, there is obviously some concern that there will be an immune rejection if you use them allogenically, mm-hmm. In other words, to a different horse. So our approach in the first instance was just to really use them autologously. So essentially the bone marrow is taken from the horse and the cells from that bone marrow sample are reinjected back into the same horse. So then you don't have any problems of rejection, of course.
That, of course, also means in commercialization that there's always going to be that step of having to isolate the cells from the respective horse, and then culturing over a couple of... How long would it take you to culture up those cells?
It takes about 3 weeks or so, plus or minus a few days, to get the 10 million cells that we're trying to achieve before we inject back into the horse. But it is an expensive procedure, and it's labor-intensive, and And that's concerns for the industry as a whole, for the stem cell industry, is that, you know, at the moment these techniques are very labor intensive and expensive. So there's obviously an interest in trying to improve that, to minimize the extra labor. But at the moment, that's how we do it. It takes a lot of time and effort, and hence the treatment isn't exactly cheap.
The other problem with these cells to some extent seems to be that they are pluripotent, almost totipotent to some extent. So if you just inject them into a tissue, they can differentiate and proliferate quite massively. I think in some applications there's a fear of creating teratomas in those respective areas. Do you actually just inject mesenchymal stem cells, or do you try to prime them into a certain direction, into a certain tissue or cell type before you inject them to try and get around this problem?
That's a good point. Most of the problems with teratomas have been with the embryonic stem cells, and we're of course not using the embryonic, we're using the cells derived from the adult animal that don't seem to have so much of that capacity. However, there is always a worry about neoplasia of forming cancer, etc. So, however, in more than 400 horses, we've not seen any of that effect. We don't try and pre-differentiate them, and it is one of the many things that we want to look at for the future. But the reason for that is a practical one. It's because we don't really know what is the correct stimulus to make these cells become tendon or form tendon tissue. So we know some work that we've done in the laboratory to suggest that one of the biggest stimulus for these cells to behave in that way, to generate tissue that resembles tendon, is to be in contact with the actual tendon tissue itself. So until we learn more, and of course this is a developing area, we're really very much at the start of this technology, that at the moment we deliberately don't try and push them down one direction. But it is a worry that once you put them in the tissue, that we end up forming, my original worry was that they might form bone or cartilage, etc., inside the tendon. So in the early cases, we did some with bone scanning as well to check that there was no bone formation. Ultrasound examination does not show any cartilage formation there. So we're fairly happy that these don't end up differentiating either into tumours or into inappropriate tissue. I think the only question mark remaining at the moment is what sort of tissue do they actually
form in the end? What kind of tissue do you want them to form ultimately?
Well, the critical thing, the injury that we're treating most commonly is the superficial digital flexor tendon injury in the horse, and this tendon is designed to be highly elastic. It stretches in normal horses by up to around 15% or so when the animal is galloping. That's a phenomenal amount of strain for a tissue to undergo, but that's part of its function. It has to store energy to make the horse an efficient athlete. Now, after injury, all that tissue gets replaced with scar tissue normally. I mean, these injuries do heal with fibrous tissue, but we know that there is, in racehorses at least, more than a 50% chance of them re-injuring. And it's mainly because that tissue, that scar tissue, is not as functional as the original tendon.
Tissue, which is there before.
So the idea is that by using these cells, and we will in time learn more about how to make them do this, I think, but the aim is that they will produce a tissue that's functionally better. So that's still the hypothesis. We have not been able to prove that yet, but that's what we're working towards.
So that they're all kind of fibrocytes in some ways, but the question is what kind of extracellular matrix do they secrete, right?
Correct, that's right.
So there'll be a lot of tuning to do in the future.
I think
probably
there will
you're
be.
Just lucky in the first
place. I think there will be. At the moment the technique is relatively crude. I mean, it has to be initially when you start off with these techniques, and we want to improve methods of selection really of the cells. So we at the moment all we can say is we enrich the population of stem cells. I don't think we have a pure mixture of stem cells, and so my interest at the moment is to try and develop tools that we can actually try and sort these cells in a more elegant way and more effective way, so that we can actually pull out the really truly multipotent cells rather than a mixture with other things.
Of course there's a question of selection when it comes to the cells to use, but I guess as a clinician you also have to ask yourself the question, what animal do I use this technology on in the first place? Because there still is conservative treatment as well. So are you actually now quite confident that you've found a set of characteristics to identify a patient where you can successfully treat a disease like this? And what's the stage of, what's your experience with this so far?
Well, our experience has given us a few pointers as to which are the best cases. Originally, we targeted it very much at the superficial digital flexor tendon injury, mainly because that's a real problem for National Hunt racehorses in particular. But we've known by following up the data, the clinical outcome data, we know that if we implant them very late on in the injury process, we have a less success rate. it looks like we have to we get the cells in early, which is what we predicted anyway, because once fibrous tissue is formed there, the cells aren't going to take it away. But it was nice to show that in a way that was probably as close as we've got to a control in our clinical series, because it's impossible to do, well, certainly at the moment, to do a proper controlled trial. We're trying to do it experimentally at the moment. Mm-hmm. But clinically, all we can do is follow the outcome data and compare it with managed cases. And at the moment, the re-injury rates are about half what they would be with conventional management.
Looking at how many animals...
Well, we've treated the in total, must be more than 400 now, but the problem is there's no point in looking at those outcomes early on, because when the horses are rehabilitating, they're at low exercise levels, they're not going to re-injure.
So they have to be back on the track for a while.
Yeah, so we're deliberately waiting for a three-year follow-up, where I'm hoping to have at the end of this year a series of 100 horses that have been followed for 3 years.
Which should give you...
Gives us a little bit more confidence, because then we can compare it with data for horses that followed for a similar length of time but treated with a number of other techniques.
You've mentioned the issue of cost already. I suppose this technology is really probably, for the moment at least, restricted to the race industry, not for your average horse owner.
Well, it certainly started off with the racehorses, but actually probably as many sports horses are done now as they are as racehorses are. The cost is just short of £2,000. But that includes ultrasound examinations and examinations, etc. So it's not
pre-examinations and follow-up.
Yeah. So it isn't cheap, no, but I think it's actually fairly good value for the amount of effort that goes into it.
Yeah, I guess that's also the question. You know, if it gives you a good outcome in the end, it probably justifies. And it doesn't seem to be a horrendous cost.
No, I think compared to a lot of things in medicine, certainly in human medicine, it's not expensive. But of course, the big issue is really knowing whether it works. And that's really my focus at the moment is... It's being able to get some confident indication from good quality data of whether or not it is actually achieving what we're hoping it's achieving.
That sounds really interesting to me. But of course, there's also the question now that you've got such a potent technology, and to my knowledge, mesenchymal stem cells can form a variety of tissues, not just tendons, for example. Have you already started to think about which disease to apply this to next? And
well, you think about it, of course. I mean, yes, it potentially has an impact in many, many different areas. I've resisted the temptation to suggest that this technology is the universal panacea. So we really have, mainly because of my interest in tendons, we've concentrated very much in tendons. I think in many ways it's a logical tissue to start off with. And if we get some proven benefit of the technology in that natural injury, then I think that gives us a lot more confidence to look further. But I have been very much more restricted in what sort of cases I've treated. I haven't started using it for joint disease or other sorts of conditions at this time. I think it's nice to get some confidence in the fact in whether it works or not before sort of expanding it to all injuries. But in the future, yes, I'm sure I do have a strong belief that cell-based therapies will certainly provide the answer in a number of different conditions, maybe not all, but certainly a number of different conditions. But we're, as I said before, what we're at though is at the beginning of a long road, and I think we have to develop it, and there will be lots of development needed to get this optimized, certainly.
So we're not quite at the stage where we're replacing drugs with cells, but for the future there's a...
No, at the moment I think there is the ideal case to consider treating, but even then I always warn owners that we don't have any evidence of it working. I'm pretty happy it's safe, and hopefully the evidence of whether it works or not will come with time.
Well, thanks for giving us such a great insight into your work. It would sound like you have a lot of work to do, and there's probably scope for a lot more podcasts in the future talking about interesting stem cell applications. Thanks for joining us today, Roger.
No problems.
Well, that's it for this time from the RVC podcast. In the meantime, you can stay tuned by subscribing to the RVC podcast on iTunes, which will guarantee that in the future you won't miss a single feature. For example, when next time we will be discussing how science can help to improve animal welfare. Of course, we are also grateful for any feedback and suggestions which you can send to podcast@rvc.ac.uk. Goodbye.